The second reading is from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, beginning with the middle of the 5th verse and reading through the 15th. It comes in the longer story of Naaman. Naaman is the commander of the army of Aram, an enemy nation to Israel. Naaman has been victorious in battle against Israel. He's captured a young girl to serve as slave for his wife. Naaman's problem is that he has leprosy. The slave girl tells his wife that there's a prophet in Samaria who could cure him. So Naaman gets a letter from his king to the king of Israel, gathers gifts fit for a king, and takes off to visit Israel, hoping to be healed. Listen for the word of the Lord. He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may know, learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry, went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have not done it? How much more then when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A threshold is that space in the doorway that separates one room from another. Sometimes it's more than rooms that are separated. It represents a different space altogether. It's the place we step across when going from this to that. Teresa Yukok of Chapel Hill remembers when her dad prepared to cross the threshold from life to death. "I'm going to have comfort care," he announced with a smile, at peace with his decision because of his faith. The cancer that he had battled with surgery and chemotherapy had returned. Palliative care was the way he chose to cross the threshold of death. He would only take what kept him comfortable. Teresa accepted his decision, but wondered if he would survive long enough to walk her down the aisle. 3 months later, her brother pushed their dad's wheelchair down the aisle beside her. She held his hand in one hand and the flowers in the other. It was not how she had pictured walking down the aisle, but she was overjoyed they made it. At the reception, they sang happy birthday to her dad, guessing it would be his last one. He delivered the toast proudly. During the father-daughter dance, sunrise, sunset, they sat. It was a threshold they crossed together. The evening she returned from the honeymoon, she visited her dad. She was relieved he'd made it through all the events, but doubted he would live much longer. She kissed him goodnight and said, "I love you. I'll see you in the morning." But the next morning, she got the news. He had crossed the threshold. They had a funeral to plan. Today, we celebrate as All Saints Sunday. It's time to remember those in our congregation who've crossed the threshold from this life into the hands of God. It's a time for talking about thresholds. The story of Naaman is a threshold story. The first threshold is encountered before the reading proper. The backstory contrasts the powerful Naaman, the commander of the army of Aram, described as a great man, held in favor by the king. He's a mighty warrior. He undoubtedly has wealth, as we see by the gifts he'll take to the king of Israel. They're the kind of gifts kings give to kings to garner their favor. Contrast Naaman with the servant girl from Israel. She remains unnamed. There's a wide threshold between the two of them. She does not even speak to Naaman. She only dares to speak to his wife. He has done her a great injustice. He has taken her from her family and from her home in Israel. She is a captive, a prize of war, in forced servitude to the wife of the general of a victorious army. Ironically, he has the power of life and death over her. Yet she crosses the threshold. She offers what he does not have. She gives hope that he might be healed by that prophet in Samaria. She's undoubtedly a person of faith. She's also willing to be the servant of God in the story, offering grace to the one who keeps her against her will. One writer has compared her faith to the butterfly effect, the idea that small actions have enormous consequences. In theory, a butterfly flapping its wings sets off a chain of effects that ripple around the world, affecting the world's weather. So people of faith may have little actions of faith that affect the world. Preacher Fred Craddock once said, "Most of us this week will not christen a ship, write a book, end a war, appoint a cabinet, dine with the queen, convert a nation. More likely, the week will present us with no more than a chance to give a cup of water, write a note, visit a nursing home, vote for a county commissioner, teach a Sunday school class, share a meal, read a story to a child, go to choir practice, or feed the neighbor's cat." Whoever is faithful in little is also faithful in much.
The girl serving Naaman's wife has that kind of faithfulness. Next, the story shifts. Naaman goes into full standard mode of operation. He uses his power, his position, and influence to get permission from his king to go visit the king of Israel. The kings don't even get named. They seem less important than the servants in the story. The king of Israel is mostly afraid of another war, but at least he knows that he's not God, able to give life and death. Finally, Elisha steps in. "Send Naaman to me. Let him know that there is a prophet in Israel." But there is still this threshold between them, a space marking the distance of the divide. Naaman arrives with all his horses and chariots, signs of power and prestige, expecting appropriate deference, fanfare from the prophet of Israel. Instead, Elisha does not even cross the threshold of his house. He sends a messenger out to Naaman to tell him to take a bath. Well, actually, the messenger tells him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and he will be clean. But it seems silly to Naaman, even offensive. He becomes angry. After all, he has come a long way. He expected more from the prophet. He has a letter from a king. Certainly the prophet could have come out and called on the name of the Lord and waved his hand around, maybe even used his Harry Potter wand. Besides, Naaman can bathe in better water back in Damascus. Naaman stands at a threshold without seeing it. The command to wash and be clean is not about the water. It's not about the prophet Elisha. It's certainly not about power and prestige, wealth and position, not even about the international influence of kings. The threshold is a question of faith. The servants know. If Naaman had been given a great test, he would have done it. Taking a bath seemed below him. Most thresholds are literally below us. They are places we step across without even thinking. But sometimes we turn and we walk away. Again, it's the unnamed servants who play the important role. They see the threshold for what it is. They risk further offense by challenging Naaman to reconsider. More butterfly effect. Naaman bathes and is restored. As miraculous as the healing seems, that's not the real miracle. The greater miracle is that having been healed, he comes to faith. He returns to Elisha, who finally steps across the threshold to greet Naaman. And Naaman crosses everything that stands between the two of them, declaring, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth, no God in all the earth except in Israel." Author Frederick Buechner tells the story of a young man coming to faith, describing it as standing at a threshold and finally seeing it. In the story, Buechner writes, "Maybe all the journeying," he thought, "had only been to bring him here to see nothing cross the threshold, but to see the threshold." The story, he writes in the novel, is actually autobiographical, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before. Buechner was at a point in his life where he was faced with an agonizing decision. He's on the family farm. He lay down on the grass with wild expectations of conjuring God into his life. Much like Naaman, Buechner believed that God could miraculously step in and fix his life. Much like Naaman, he expected it. That day he felt as if the time was ripe for a miracle. His life was ripe for a miracle. Buechner prayed to God for a miracle, sure that something was about to happen. Looking back, he was surprised that he could not convince himself that a miracle had happened. The sunshine was bright. The air crystal clear. It was a magical day, but no miracle. What he remembers is that two branches in an old apple tree knocked against each other, breaking the focus of his prayers for a miracle and bringing him back to the miracle of life all around him. Instead of a miracle, he caught a glimpse of the grace of God already at work in his life. What he called the muffled presence of the holy. Still in that moment, he saw the threshold for what it was, and he trusted God's grace and moved forward in the life of faith. A threshold is that space in the doorway that separates one room from another. Sometimes it separates different kinds of spaces. It's a place we step across from this to that. Perhaps we are like the servants in the story of Naaman, living the small acts of faith, hoping that at some point we may make a difference. Perhaps we are like Naaman himself, in need of a miracle to move us from doubt to faith. Perhaps we're like Teresa, grappling with the threshold of life transitions, even the threshold of life and death, praying for comfort, praying for peace. By God's grace, may we, like Buechner, be able to catch a glimpse of God's grace in the midst of our lives. Despite the clattering noise all around, may God's Spirit bring us to new thresholds of faith, where God is still calling us to follow. Thanks be to God. Amen.